strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I think we're going to talk about the big issues today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the bye week. We all get the chance to pause, to reflect, to be grateful.
I mean, it was a big win anyway, but there's such a premium on winning before a bye week.
Oh, I know. I just feel so relaxed and smug. But really, I mean, we don't talk about other clubs very much here, and you know, the focus is very much Richmond. But Andy, are you worried about the fact that no one on the Geelong team under the age of 28 has a winning record in finals? Do you think this is reflects a problem in the leadership, or do you think it reflects on the coach?
Well, you know, Nick, for years there was sort of the joke about Richmond that, you know, we had some good players, but we lacked a winning culture. But Geelong was fantastic in that way, and they just won, not because they had great players, but because their culture was great. So it gave me great pleasure to tweet on the weekend that, no, Geelong, they have got some good individual players, but they just lack the winning culture.
Just can't get over the line, can they?
Amazingly, which either is a tribute to the stupidity of the internet, that many people didn't get the intense irony in that, because literally a lot of people thought I was being serious. Anyway, but yes, it is deeply, you know, Geelong are famous for winning those kind of games. You know, that game was close, you know, quite deep into the last quarter, and we, you know, in the last 10-15 minutes, the pressure went up a gear. Well, the pressure that went up a gear, the game went up a gear for one team, and another team just wilted. And we were on the right side of the ledger.
I know. And Chris Scott being unhappy, just, I wish I could smoke it.
He's always unhappy after a loss. But he, it's sort of interesting that in some ways it was a replay of last year's final.
More competitive than the final.
Yeah, the difference being is we didn't smash them in competitive war, and we didn't, you know, there were a few things that they clearly beat us on, which did hurt us, you know, and in a game which is bitterly contested, where every kick is contested and it's hard fought, you know, getting smashed in the Swinner Square matters, because you're starting, you're losing territory straight away, and territory matters in one that in a game like that. So, you know, stuff like that meant that the game was much closer. But, you know, they hang around in the end because of some individual moments by their stars. And, you know, we were, towards the end, we were, the sort of the full court press was really grinding them out. And that's why it was closer, because we were losing in areas we didn't in the final. But we won because we were good at the things we were good at in the final.
Yeah, and if we could have kicked any of our first 5 shots of goal, that would have helped to settle my nerves. But oh my god, perhaps jumping the gun, but how happy were you to see Daniel Rioli sprinting up and down the MCG again?
Oh, not at all. It's a perfect moment to start on, because he just hit the game so quickly. Like, he's always been a burst player, but, you know, he's most, just in the first 5 minutes, he was brilliant, and he was back, and the energy in between the three amigos, you could feel it immediately. Oh. It was amazing. Like, you know, we'll talk a bit about his goal later. I've forensically analysed it, but it makes such a difference to have him back.
Oh, well, you talk about the three amigos, the holy trifecta of that goal, the Jason Castagna length of the ground goal, and the Dan Butler Gaelic pass. Like, it was so great. It reminded me of something And I thought the difference in quality of our small forwards versus theirs was a big part of the game. And not just that ours were quicker than theirs, but that ours are capable of long, sustained gut running that leave their opponents gasping for air. And how unusual that is. I just think the Richmond model is harder to replicate than just having a bunch of small dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you get a different feel if that was Baker and Shai Bolton, both of whom arguably are playing senior-level quality football in the AFL, in the VFL, you may get a completely different result. But, Nick, just going back to the flow of the overall game, like that was... I mean, that game was a war. Yes, it was wet, but we had our highest overall pressure ratings for the year, and credit to the guy in Bigfooty who's keeping all those statistics.
That's off to him.
Nim from Sudan to accurately credit him. But yeah, the pressure acts were the pressure and the game was noticeably up. And I think Dimmer made this comment that, you know, these are two teams that are playing finals football, and when that happens, you do tend to get a heavily contested game. And he was right, and that's what we got.
Yeah, and look, they're clearly a better team with Joel Selwood fit and functional. Gary Ablett is still a weapon on offense. and Blitzars is a pretty good defender, and I was annoyed at how well Rhys Stanley played, I have to say. And as much as it pains me to say it, the Nanks opponent playing really well thing... Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, it was something I made note about, but I mean, Rhys Stanley was killing Nank in the first quarter. There's no nice way to put it. And then Nank did the most Nankish thing, that he kicked an absolutely crucial goal to get us back in it.
Well, although even by Nank standards, the pivoting in a pack off the wrong foot goal, that was pretty sweet.
Oh no, it was absolutely amazing. And you know, it's just one of those things that just when you think he's the worst player on the ground for us, he does something that's really important and valuable, and that's almost the story of his career. He gets beaten a lot, but he always wins just enough to help you win the game.
God bless him. You mentioned about the pressure acts. Jack Graham back in, and yeah, he did yeoman's work.
Yeah, I mean, huge. It was at 13, 14 tackles. It's sort of interesting watching him. The sort of he's not getting this. Like if you don't actually notice a lot of his tackles first time you watch the game. Mm. You notice them more on tape, and you know, would it be nice for him to occasionally to beat his opponent to the ball? Yes, maybe. But, you know, goddamn, you know, he puts us... I don't know why...
He does a solid day's work.
He does. I mean, why is he so much better at doing it than everyone else? You know, he's literally... I think he's the quickest player ever to 100 tackles. He's just a tackling machine. He's just grinding in those contests. You know, it made a huge difference, and I think he had he had by far the highest number of pressure acts for the team in the game.
Well, and you know, Dan Rioli back causing chaos.
Yeah, and look, we need that because you know Gary Ablett and Dustin Martin both did that when they played on each other.
They were playing pretty well. Dusty was actually really high up for pressure acts. It surprised the hell out of me.
Oh, he wasn't that high. He was just high relative to his normal terrible rate.
I thought he was like top four.
there were three people who stood out, and then he was fourth. Mm. And that's pressure acts is sort of a funny stat, but let's not, you know.
I thought he was better, if not necessarily our fourth best defensive player.
I don't know. I thought watching him on the tape, he was terrible defensively. And he's the 22nd rated player per game. I was actually pretty annoyed with Dusty's game in some ways. Although he was good offensively. Some of that stuff, like the camera point in one instance when he was playing on Gary Ablett, who'd already kicked a goal on him and just completely went to the other side of the ground. I mean, you know, that's something you do when you play on a hack. But yeah, I don't know. I'm no way am I defending. I'll defend Dusty's offensive game, but his defensive game. Ugh. Anyway, sorry. You'll say.
Well, I was glad they kept Higgins, and you know they really doubled down on the speed and pressure, and I think it worked. And Higgins very much played as a midfielder and was kind of effective at it. Not great, but effective.
Yeah, I don't think you know, he's always on the bubble, and I don't think he's going to get dropped that this week for two reasons. One, his second efforts were great. Like, there were multiple efforts when there was a moment where he dropped a mark he should have taken off, a beautiful short kick. But then he butted up, and he did about three or four repeat efforts, and then got a, I think it was off a Selwood kick, he got a smother. And it was just one of those things that makes the coaching highlight wheel for effort. But late in the fourth, he got two key centre clearances, none of which were particularly pretty, but it meant the other team didn't get them. And, you know, that's
as... I thought that was that showed a level of trust as well, that they were willing to give him a go there when things were tough.
Well, trust / desperation, because let's face it, no one else was playing well, but he delivered. And there was one point he got under Garrett. He was playing head to head with Gary Ablett, and he got underneath him and he won the clearance. Now, you know, that he had wound up with two centre clearances for the game, which is, considering his time he spent there, it wasn't very high. It was it was a significant contribution in a key moment in the game.
Is Kane Lambert an MCG All-Star?
I thought he was amazing.
He was great, but it did make me wonder, and I want to do a bit more research on this, on who are the guys who really play better at the MCG. And I was wondering that, you know, Lambert's a super hard worker. Like, he's consistently runs more than any other Richmond player in the game. And, yeah, whether or not the wide space is suiting.
But also so clever with his hand passing. And, you know, the way he hits the ball in clearances, when he gets a clearance, it really matters. Now, admittedly, he gambles a bit. But, like, he's up to some of his hand passing. It's just magnificent. And actually, I'll come back to that, but I thought he was our best on ground. I know he didn't win it, but, yeah, I was...
I was pretty fine. I was pretty fine with Vlossy.
Let me come back to that. I'm not even think Vlossy was the best defender. But let's...
We had other really good defenders, but he was best on ground with the coaches.
Yeah, and I'm going to come back to the coaches vote. I've got a conspiracy theory for you.
All right. But I both loved Vlossy's game, but also what it represented about Chris Scott being outcoached, and that made me smile.
Yeah, but I put it to you, Nick. Like, I mean, he was good, and he got a shed load. Like, what was it, 11 intercepts? It was all great. But 18 disposals. Okay, we'll go there. He was left free. Like, in old school football, if you leave a guy loose man in defence like that, you expect him to get sort of 20 disposals at minimum and be a really important player in the game. To me, the real heroes of the game, which, not that Vossi wasn't great, was I thought Grimes' game was better, because Grimes had to play an opponent and was doing a lot of the hard yards that would allow Vossi to star. And Grimes, I thought, was just amazing. I actually thought Grimes alone I would have given the votes to ahead of Vlossy, even though he statistically wasn't better.
I thought they were all great as a unit, and including Rance in that as well, and that as a unit thing, because, you know, Garthwaite, after the shaky first quarter, he played quite solidly, but B, they just didn't leave him unprotected in dangerous situations at all. There was always either Vlossy at the front or Grimes coming over the back, and yeah, the team worked great as a unit.
So if you look at those two goals that Garthwaite had on him, kicked on him by Tomahawk
Hawkins.
Both times Garthwaite was covering the obvious kick, sort of he was covering the kind of kick, the ball where it'd probably go to in the VFL. In both times he got done, one was a beautiful centering ball, which, you know, requires real strength across the body, and the other one was, I believe, the Zach Tui sort of a 60-metre kick that got over the back. Mm. Both times, I put it to you, Nick, you don't get to defend those kicks very often in the VFL. And I think he was getting caught out by his positioning was bad because he was using VFL positioning. And, you know, in the AFL, particularly against a good team like Geelong, the ball goes to different spots. So, to me, maybe I'm being a bit generous, but I put those two goals partly down to first game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just, you know, feeling his way. He had another situation where he spoiled front and centre and it led to a Geelong goal. But I did notice that after that, he was making much more of an effort to punch to the boundary. So I think that's he's both getting feedback from the guys he's with, and he's making adjustments on the fly, and I think that's a good sign. I think it's quite reasonable for a teenager to make mistakes in his first game, but I think that he kept at it, he didn't get discouraged. He ran more than any other player on the team except for Lambert. Like, he covered a ton of ground.
And he's quite a natural footballer and sort of has coordination. You know, that last-minute smother he did, you know, you don't do that unless you've got a sense for the game, and he doesn't panic when he's got the ball. I mean, his kicking motion is a great big fat worry. If he doesn't make it, they'll probably because of that. But there's a lot to like there, and I like his appears wise above his years, you know, once he's in a contest.
Yeah, and look, all the VFL stuff, they talk about him being a leader and organising the defence. So yeah, I'm not all that surprised by that. He's not super quick. Like, he's certainly not Grimes quick, and Grimes is legitimately top 20 in the AFL fast on measured sprint speed. So I think his future probably is in. He's already put on about 7 kilos of muscle since he arrived at the club, and I think he could probably use another 5 or 6, and he'll be a very solid defender.
I like he's got long arms.
Definitely.
A bit of a Dustin Fletcher to him.
Yeah, and he really wants to spoil the ball. I reckon that comes through.
Yeah, but finish my conspiracy theory, when Vossi got all the coaches' votes, I wonder whether that was partly a sort of, we didn't really want to admit, we structured up to let Vossi go through, but a lot of other guys were doing hard work, but it looked like Vossi was the best player, so we're going to give him the credit. You know, we're not going to give away what our meta strategy was. Anyway, it's just a silly conspiracy
theory. You're
probably
overthinking it.
I was thinking, you know, like, the guy, like, he was really good, but, you know, he was winning defence.
And points off turnovers are a very big thing. Like,
they correlate
really highly with winning.
Of course it is, but those turnovers were created because he was free and all the other Geelong players were made. There was a moment where he got into St. Mark where Grimes had poleaxed his direct opponents and like allowed Vossi to take it uncontested. Like, it was great. Don't get me wrong. I like Vossi, but it wasn't the perfect game, and I thought Grimes was just amazing. Anyway, all I'm saying is just relativity. I'm giving a lot of love to Grimes.
Mm. Well, it was... And it was the classic Richmond performance in terms of absorbing the other team's best shot, them being, after the first quarter, being completely unable to generate good shots at goal, and even when they were getting shots, they were sort of 45, 50 metres out. So, yeah, well, that made up for a few sins in terms of losing clearances in the middle of the ground.
Yeah, and, I mean... We just can't keep doing this. We're not going to win a flag if we keep losing it. But as you say, we're so good at the other things that we can make up for it.
Well, and you think about the glorious 2017 team. I just don't think it's a coincidence that as soon as Prestia hit form towards the end of the year, and we've got Dusty in really good form, you know, we're breaking even in contested ball. And where our pressure's off the roof, and the small forwards are creative, and it just all fits together. Plus the Jacob Townsend miracle.
Mm. So I think Dusty's injured.
Yeah, I mean, I I think you always work off the principle that they're all a bit injured by this stage of the year. I was encouraged by his last quarter, actually. That felt the way he lifted at key moments was very Dusty-like.
It was, but I mean, I know they're all injured, Nick, but I mean relative to the last few years, because statistically his number's down.
I think he's a bit off.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. But why else would he be a bit off? Like the other reason he's a bit off is far less charitable, is that he's not trying as hard because he's off a contract year. And I'd rather explain it by saying that he's injured.
Look, I think the injury one's probably a good reason. Yeah, no, I think just form. Sometimes it's a bit elusive, and teams are definitely giving him less space, which is crazy to think that they wouldn't have been trying to tag on him last year. But
I think Gary Ablett gave him a fair bit of space. I mean,
space in midfield. I think. Well, yeah, actually, that's unusual. But he's not getting one out forward as much as I remember, which makes me sad. It's one of my favourite things.
Yeah.
So what has Jack Riewoldt done to the umpires?
I give up. I mean, I tweet about it every week. It gets me angry during the game. Fortunately, it hasn't cost us anything yet.
I know. I've got a... And, you know, I don't... You know, I'm generally pro-umpires. And the one where he literally got grabbed around the neck 25 metres out from goal, I haven't checked to see what angle the umpire had on it, because otherwise, you know, if they had a decent angle on it, that's just horrible.
There were actually four umpires on. They had an extra umpire as an experiment, so you would have think one of them would have seen it. Anyway, it was what it was, but...
You would think. I mean, you're only going to have one in the immediate zone, and if they're on the wrong side, they're on the wrong side. But yeah, sure, jeez.
They are meant to set up to that side. Anyway,
Well, they're meant to have a secondary one who's covering the opposite side, but if the game's moving too fast, that's impossible. But yeah, that was a shocker. The Dangerfield blocking Rance and then giving away 50 was... Yeah, Rance doesn't give away a lot of 50s.
No, that was clearly not a free. Rance was annoyed. Sorry, it was a mark, but then Rance was annoyed that the 50 was so annoyed that the 50 was played. That was not, but you know, that's a product of probably the diving allegations that umpires aren't giving Rance anything at the moment.
Don't get me started.
No, but it matters. And Danger's dropped to his knees as well, that Dusty got fined for when he was remonstrating. That wasn't a free kick either, if you look at it on the replay. Now, the one thing I will say on the flip side was, what on earth was Shedder thinking when he went in to tackle Joel Selwood in the fourth quarter inside 50, and Joel Selwood didn't even need to drop to his knees like he inevitably would have to get the high free kick. I was like, he's going in and tackling the guy who's most famous in the AFL.
Who's like nearly 3 inches taller than he is.
And he made it easy for him. It was amazing. But fortunately, he was about 2 minutes later, he was the one who hit the long kick to get Castagna over the back, so he made up for it. I was just thinking, like, Shedder, have you missed, like, the last 10 years of AFL?
Have you learnt nothing? I know. Frustrating. I liked Sean Griggs' game. We've fretted about his form at varying points of the season, but, yeah, that was a good game.
No, he's been good the last few weeks.
I really enjoyed his ruck work, that when they rucked Menangola against him, I loved that he tried to crack in hard.
Yeah, look, him and Shedder are both, you know, we've been occasionally worried about Grigg this year, but both him and Shedder are just having magnificent late career, because they're both roughly the same age. They're having magnificent late career renaissances.
Yeah, to someone who I am genuinely worried about, is K-Mac. I think he maybe needs a week in the VFL.
Yeah, he wasn't good. He didn't get much game time either.
Which is always a bad sign of getting dropped.
There's the value in the outside touches he gets, but they're getting so few.
I love him monstering dudes in space on the MCG, but yeah, he's valuable at 15 touches a game, and yeah, at 9 it's pretty tough. He had a couple of bad turnovers as well.
Oh, he always has turnovers, but the difference is when K-Mac's making them, he's often kicking at 55 metres.
Kicking it over the head of guys free in the inside 50.
Yeah. Anyway, he hasn't been great the last few weeks.
But he is, you know, hashtag premiership hero, so, you know, just give him... Conor Menadue and Cal Moore both had great games in the VFL this week after getting dropped. And I want K-Mac to have that kind of game.
So just popping back to the back line briefly, and he's been in the news this week, but my God, I love Jaden Short. He just makes such good decisions. And there was a kick he made inboard that I mentioned before that Higgins dropped the mark on. It was 10 out of 10. As an act of beauty, I love his decision making. I love the way he uses the ball, and his contested ball work gets better and better every week.
I was just going to say it's 2014 rookie class for life. Like three of our best players. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is quite true. So he was in the press this week.
So he's apparently put off contract talks, which is code for he's not being offered as much money as he wants. And
his manager's leaking the story to the press.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but by the way, Nick, I blame myself because last week I said this is the story the press should be writing, not some of the other contract stories.
I know, and so much better than so many of the other tedious football stories.
Now that we're talking about his contract, and obviously opposition scouts listen to the show, can I just say that I'm really worried about Jaden Short's game. I don't think it's sustainable. I think he bends over a lot at speed, which when he gets older and his hamstrings get a bit tighter, he won't be able to do any more.
He's still too turnover prone.
He can't. He's too short to match up on mid-sized forwards. Yeah. There's all sorts of problems in his game, and he's clearly benefiting off having the best and half back of his generation playing at his feet.
We're protecting him from difficult one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason why another club should be after him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of tiresome. Media narratives. Have there been any of the prospective rule changes that have taken your eye?
No, but let's...
I've got one for you.
Oh, yeah, far away.
Well, maybe, perhaps only as an innovation to trial for this year, but I was thinking that we don't do enough to celebrate the reigning premier, so I was wondering if we... have to play the reigning premier's theme song before every AFL game, much the same way they do the national anthem for finals.
Okay, I like that idea, but if people can't go with it, perhaps we could just play it before the games of the runner-up to the grand finalists.
And Geelong games.
Geelong, yeah. Maybe just the teams we play in the finals. I really like it. Innovative.
Yeah. The whole Adelaide preseason camp thing sounds weird as hell anyway, but them playing the Richmond theme song to those guys as well. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's not like they haven't suffered enough living in Adelaide. But can I just say I'm not in favour of any thing that changes the way that kickouts are done because when we kick a point, it's often very much to our advantage. And as you pointed out before, we're not the best goal-kicking team in the AFL.
So, the VFL... So, I mean, the AFL teams on the top of the ladder. VFL team also on top of the ladder and premiership favourites after a a pretty hard-fought win in the wet against the Blues on... It was a curtain raiser. And, yeah, I don't know if you've seen highlights, and highlights in somewhat inverted commas, other than some Calmore magic, but, yeah, things are going well at Tigerland.
Yeah, nice goal from my boy, Baker, who just, you know, starting the list of start 23 disposals, very high in the best, crucial player on the day, and continues to impress.
He's had a couple of weeks where he wasn't quite at the same level because he was extremely close to a senior game a couple of weeks ago, and then maybe slight drop off in form. But yeah, really, really good to see him back. I mentioned Calmore before, and if you haven't seen it, everyone should go and see the goal he kicked where he handballed the ball to himself and snapped it around the corner.
I had no idea he had such tricks.
I know. He does have talent. He's another guy, apparently, who's unhappy with the amount of money we've offered him. But, yeah, given how poorly he played against Port Adelaide, I think his bargaining power is limited to a point. But it was five really nice goals.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always exciting. And you mentioned before, but Menidieu was very solid.
Yeah, and look, he's had 23 kicks, which is a lot. And a really good number for a guy as fast as he is, who kicks as long as he does. So, yeah, I was encouraged by him.
Six tackles, too.
Yeah, our best player, apparently, Corey Ellis, sort of clean when everyone else fumbled around him, and having a very solid season. I mean, you've said on, just when we've been messaging him, that he's the complete opposite of a like-for-like replacement for K-Mac, but yeah, I wonder if you just give him a go anyway.
I could live with it getting him a go, but like, it was a good game, and he had 11 tackles and 2 goals, like, impressive, but still, that 22 disposals worries me. You know, he just, the problem is when he goes on up to the AFL, he doesn't make enough of impact, and you know, you compare him to Lloydie and Miles's good games where they go, that they scream past 35 possessions. And yeah. Anyway, we'll see. I would be okay with him getting a game.
Another favourite topic for this show is Callum Coleman-Jones' man love. And he kind of broke even with Andrew Phillips, who is a great big ruckman who's been in the AFL system for 8 years. I mean, he's a journeyman. He's you know, bounced around a couple of clubs, hasn't played a ton of senior football, but he is a very big boy, and I think that's a really good sign that he's far from disgraced.
Well, the team hitouts were 32-65, so he's obviously
first-team
player.
Part of that was unfortunately Noah Bolter as backup ruck having a bit of tough time, but the Phillips versus Jones, they match up okay.
Who else?
Ben Miller, you know, he's having a quiet and solid. Apparently he played well, sort of stepping up in Garthwaite's absence, which you like to see. Shai Bolton had a bit of an almost game, 18 disposals, which is good. 3 behinds, which is...
Played the best.
A bit frustrating. Yeah, look, I think that was about it for you know, there are a lot of guys who were solid, like Drummond, Naish, Bolter didn't have his best day, but yeah, no, I think generally the team's going well.
Yeah, Miles must be sitting in the VFL wondering what he's still doing playing for Richmond, but that's all right.
These things happen. So we've got the week off. If you got any Richmond related plans?
I think we watch every game twice because of the show, so this week was quite interesting, especially with Rioli back and having Garthwaite, but I don't think there's anyone particularly that I'm desperate to study on the tape. Is there anyone that you don't quite have a grasp on?
I'm Sydney. Yeah, I might try and catch one of their games. I was thinking I might want to might try and rewatch either the Pies or the Melbourne game actually, because they're two wins that are stacking up quite nicely with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah, the Pies are an interesting team tactically too. Mm. But there's plenty to come in the second. We've got the Pies in Geelong, both two very interesting games coming up. Fortunately, we played them twice this year. From a spectator perspective, it's fortunate we're playing them twice. Unfortunately, we missed the GWS when they were really bad.
Yeah, annoying. Although Rory Loeb's just been ruled out for a while, which is pleasing, because there's a pretty big drop off after him. But yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to the Adelaide game at the MCG.
That will be interesting, won't it?
Mm. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers too.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never weaken till the most part.
The star, like the tiger of old, the storm and the bones of the tiger. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
It's just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from where we?
Mitch Rance.
Never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conchon, left off snap.
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.